7. We're going to read the whole passage here, and then I really want to help you a little bit tonight. Psalm 57, to the chief musician, Altisheth, Mictum of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. There are two occasions listed in the scripture where David is hiding in a cave. One is the cave of Adullam, that's 1 Samuel 22. There's another in En Gedi, and that's 1 Samuel 24. It doesn't tell us which one, but he has fled, and now he is not in a residence. He is basically hiding out in a hole. Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful to me. My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. These unbelievably violent storms. God, be merciful to me. Verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performed all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. He gives a personal name to his problem. There is an individual. Notice how that's going to switch in a minute. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Always understand, mercy and truth come from God. These are not human traits in a sense. They are transitive in the sense that we can know mercy and we can know truth. But the very ideas of these come from God. These are vertical. We carry them out horizontal. Verse 4, my soul is among lions. He goes from individual to persons. He goes from person, rather, to persons. They multiply. And I will lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. This is not a pleasant occasion, is it? You got people who want to rip into pieces. This is bad. Is everybody nodding your head? Everybody still? This is bad. It's bad, bad. Verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. Now, there is nothing about those first four verses that makes any sense to me in verse 5. There just not. If you come up to me and say, preacher, having a bad day, I say, how bad is it? Well, I got this guy, and then I got these guys, and they just don't want me to fail. They don't want to kill me, and they don't want to tear me to pieces, and I can't go home. I got to live over here, and I got to hide, and I'm basically scared to go to sleep, because if I go to sleep, they're going to come in, find me asleep, and kill me. I got news for you. That's a bad day. It's a crazy bad day. Is anybody else? It's a bad day. And then he says what he says in verse 5. If for all the musicians in here, verse 5 and verse 11 are connected. They're the two refrains. Verse 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. It's not enough. They're trying to kill them. They're just laying traps everywhere. My soul is bowed down. Anybody ever felt that way? You just hunkered slam over because it's so bad and it's so hard. You feel so bad, or you're so upset, or you're so discouraged, or fill in the blank, that it affects you physically. I mean, you just, to stand straight and tall would be a farce. He says, my soul is bowed. I said bowed, or bowed down. They have digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. They've done this, and they've done it with such malice. They're falling into it as well. They're just so many of them. They're so multitudinous. They're all over the place, and they've fallen in there. Selah, think about it. Again, about 20 meetings there. Verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Wait a minute. His soul is bowed down. Verse 7, it don't make sense. Awake up, my glory. Awake. We get the picture. He goes to sleep, and he gets up. We're looking at one day. This psalm represents a day in his life. He says, I will myself will awake early. He's going to beat the sun up so he can talk and sing and praise God. I got to know what he's doing. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. God, what you're doing here, I will use it evangelistically. I will use it missionally. This is something I will give you credit for. Verse 10, for thy mercy, we're going to come back to that word, is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. Here's the refrain. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. I want to help you. I want to talk about a day in the life. A day in the life, or if you please, how to redecorate a cave. A day in the life. And I think this will be a real help to all of us. It's been a real help to me. Pray with me now. Father, speak to our hearts. Minister to us now. Help us get real, real honest, real transparent now. And if we don't need this today, we may need it this week. If we don't need it next week, we're going to need it soon. How do we do this? How does this come to pass? Or the first verses we get, it's the last ones that don't make sense to us. So teach us tonight. Help us to see this and understand this and apply this. Spirit of God, I pray you'd use me and fill me. I pray that you'd be honored right now, Lord Jesus. I love you and I need you. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. We'll be right there in your Bibles. If you got some room in the back of your bulletin, take a few things down. I'm going to give you these ideas here. I think they're really going to help, really going to help you and help you understand some things. He says here basically that this is my day. And I'm writing this psalm, and I want to make sure that you get it, and I want to make sure that you understand it. There's a couple of interesting things just to kick us off here. Look all the way back at the title there. These are inspired titles there. To the chief musician, Altisheth, victim of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. There are a couple of neat things. One, he writes this, and he wants to make sure that the guy, the song leader, or the choir leader, the worship leader, whatever what you want to call it, there in the temple. Make sure that you've got this. This is for me to you, and so it's just going to be sung corporately in time to come. The word Altisheth there is the idea of destroy not. Literally, it's how it translates in the English. It's in Psalm 58, it's in Psalm 59, it's in Psalm 75. Look right up here. It is more than likely the melody. It might be the tune. How many of you think that'd be an interesting song? Destroy not. Destroy not. I don't know how you sing it. Destroy not. I don't know how that works. And again, I don't know any Hebrew to be able to sing that. But this is the melody. This is what it is. This is one of those there. And then the mictum is interesting too because it just means mystery. This is a mysterious thing God has done. The anointed king of all Israel is on the run for his life. He's scared to go to sleep. Then he goes to sleep. And then he wakes, and he's a different person. And I just got to know what's going on in the middle. He says that people hate him, and he has problems. And yet he's going, be thou exalted, O God. I will praise thee, verse 9. I will sing unto thee. And I look at that, and I look at my life, and I look at other people that I know, and this is not normal. If you got problems, you're not thrilled about singing to God all the time, are we? Not the first thing. If you got financial problems, you stay up and try and figure it out, right? You go to bed worried about it. Everybody with me here? If you've got other things, if you got family problems, you got work problems, whatever, wherever you find yourself. And yet he lays all this out. And then he's just like a new man, the last part of this psalm here. I wrote this down. Life is easy when what? For most of us, life is easy when there are more problems or fewer problems. How many of you, life is easy when there's more problems? How many of you, life is easier when there's fewer problems? Fewer problems. And David's got a bushel basket of problems, doesn't he? He got the Sam's Costco size of problems. He's got as many problems as Brandon Glaspie has rolls of toilet paper. He has got problems. Maybe you still have a few? Few, all right. Just a few. He's selling them on eBay. He's got all these things here. See, in my mind, maybe you're this way, but my life is easier, my life is better when the people close to me are happy. Is that true with you guys? When the relationships are happy or whatever. Ever how it is, I thought that being a teenager, I thought in college life, I thought in the work world, I thought, you know, if people, you know, and let me say another, if people around me are not trying to kill me, I think it makes for a better day. Is everybody with me here? And yet he's going day and night, one day, all this is going on, and he's just, man, I got to know what's going on because David is so raw about things, and he's writing. I am very interested here. Anybody else very interested here? Because I really think the way this ought to read is, okay, God, after you've taken them all out, I'll feel better, right? After you've landed a pile of money for me, after you've taken care of the cancer, after you've taken care, excuse me, of the leaky roof or whatever, fill in whatever blank you've got there. So he writes this, and I'm intrigued, and I'm interested. There's a couple, let me give you a couple of things, and I want to give you your applications tonight, and hopefully some real help here. How many of you are really interested in what the rest of this is? Anybody besides me? Look at it. He says again there, he talks about a couple of things. He talks about mercy and refuge. He talks about being steadfast. He talks about awakening. So he describes this day here for us, and he gives this day, and I want you to see it. Warren Wiersbe says in his little commentary on this passage, he says, better to be in the will of God in a cave than out of his will in the palace. Let me say it differently. David was absolutely in God's will on the run with a bag of problems. Now, I don't think that way all the time. I think fewer problems, God is happy. Is anybody else think that way? And the fewer problems I have, the happier God is with me. Does anybody else have that kind of thinking? Anybody else sort of have that kind of thinking? Just a few of us, some of you. In that when I have a whole bunch of problems, then God is what? Not as happy with me. Is faulty thinking, but I mean, just can we be honest tonight? We're in church. Can we do a little honesty? And this is not anywhere close to what's going on here. David's right in God's will and exactly where God wants him to be, and he's on the run scared to go to sleep for a little bit. Scared he's going to wake up, if you allow the joke, he's going to wake up dead. They're going to find him and kill him. I am unbelievably interested. So help us out here. So he's going to do, and he's going to give us these three scenes in this day. How we can approach a day knowing everything that we know. Couple of them. Number one. Every day we can do what? Every day we can pray. Every day we can pray. Don't raise your hand. How many of you pray more when you have problems, difficulties, heartaches, financial problems, whatever it is? How many of you pray more then, but you feel like you probably pray less if you're on a paid-for cruise? Right? Eating steak, it's easy to praise Jesus, right? Or tofu, or whatever you like, or Mexican dip. It's easy to praise Jesus, you know, but sitting there looking at that can of beets that's been in the back of the thing, you know, for 3 years going, I reckon that's what we're eating tonight. It's a little more difficult, isn't it? But every day I can pray. He starts off praying for mercy here. Starts off praying for mercy. Look at verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. It is halfway between a demand in a demand and a plea. God, I need you to be merciful. If you highlight, underline, circle in your Bibles, in your tablet or whatever,